Jan Viktorín.
My name is Jan Viktorín, and I'm going to introduce you what I'm working for my dissertation. It's about processing of network traffic in low-power devices with using of FPGA. In this presentation, I will describe PetriNet simulation model of a device that tries to lower its power consumption. So, some introduction. At our department, we are working on a small embedded network probe that is based on a dual-core ARM CPU and an FPGA, and its aim is to be able to process from 1 to 10 gigabit per second of network traffic at wire speed. That means without losing any packet. And for that purpose, we need an FPGA for acceleration. At the same time, because you can build such a system with a conventional computer, but it will be more expensive and it will consume much more power, so we need the device to be as low power as possible. At the same time, we want the device to be quite clever, so it should be able to do some packet filtering, some deep packet inspection, that means to look up regular expressions in traffic and other things. This system is based on a chip, it's maybe a Zynq or Altera Cyclone 5. The chips are very similar, and their specific is that on the single chip there is a CPU, a reconfigurable logic area, that's the FPGA, and some memory controller and interconnections between those two parts. So it's quite obvious that you can run an application on the ARM core, something conventional, and you can offload some processing into the FPGA, and you can do it dynamically. So it means if the load of the system becomes too high, you can offload dynamically some processing to the FPGA. And the question is when to do it, when is the right time? So here is some example. We have some processing. In the main memory, there is some application code. There's the application or the operating system. And there is some input buffer for data. And here is a source of data, for example, data from network. At some moment, the application decides that it's time to offload some processing because the input traffic is too high. So it loads some FPGA firmware from a persistent storage to the memory. It may choose one of many FPGA firmwares. It depends on the load and on the application. And then it starts configuration of the FPGA. And this takes some time. So if the traffic if the traffic load is going to be high, we must do the reconfiguration in advance, because if we do it too late, we will start losing data because the buffer will overflow. So if the configuration is done, the accelerator has access to the same memory as the CPU and can process the data instead of the CPU or in parallel with the CPU, so both those parts can work. Another option is to load more accelerators to do the job faster. So there is a system that is to be simulated. There is the data source, the network, or some synthetic source like a packet generator that's randomly generates some data. There is the input buffer, which is quite important thing because it has limited capacity and all the other processing depends on how much is the buffer occupied. Then there is CPU FPGA and some switching logic. And the logic must be able to decide when is the right time to do the switch. The decision may be done by some predictor, and it's probably one of the goals of my dissertation to find a good predictor for this task. So it's not the goal of this project. And we can ask, will we lose data in some configuration of this model? How many packets would be lost if we set up the model for some configuration? Will we save power? Because even the dynamic reconfiguration needs some power. It's not just the processing, but when we stop processing data and starting to do the reconfiguration, it will consume some power. So it must be done in a way that we will really save some power. And what is the maximum throughput of such a system? Petrinet. I think you all are familiar with Petrinet, but I will repeat some basic things. The Petrinets are Petrinet consists of two elements. One is a place. Second is a transition or an event. And those two entities may be connected by arrows or arcs. In a place, you can put a token or marker, and a place can contain any number of markers, if not states. If there is no other definition, there may be any number of these tokens. And if we have, for example, this situation, the transition can fire in the case when all input places are marked with a token. And if they are marked, it can fire. It fires randomly because the system is stochastic. And if it fires, it removes one token from all input places and puts one token into all output places. There is also some improvement of a Petrinet with inhibitor arc, and this works in a way that if the place is empty, the transition fires a token, and this extension makes Petrinets to be Turing complete. There are also many extensions of Petrinets, for example, timing Petrinets, where the transition fires every time unit that is specified, or other things I will speak about. This is an example of a simple data generator. We have one place, a timed transition, and this generates one token every T time units. I found in literature also this variant without the marker. I think it's not important. Both works the same way. Another example is processing with a resource. So this is, for example, a CPU. Here is some source of data. Here is some destination. And the CPU may process the input data. It takes T time units. After T time units, one token is moved to the destination, that is the actual processing. And also, we can model the situation when the CPU is turned off, or when it is when there is some, for example, some failure or something. So this this model may randomly turn the CPU off, so no processing will happen. A more complex example is sharing a CPU. It's also again a processing system, or there are two algorithms or two programs that share one CPU, and the CPU randomly switches between those two programs. Okay, so next part of my presentation is the actual model I designed. This is the CPU part of the processing. So here comes, for example, the network packets. And there is one CPU that is in idle state. And if there is some data in the input, the processing may occur. So it takes the CPU, processes in some internal buffer the data, and returns CPU back after T CPU time units. You can also see a priority in this transition, and the priority will be used later. Because, for example, if from this place there is another transition, the transition with higher priority is preferred. So we can add some hardware acceleration here, and if it's possible to perform the acceleration, it is preferred over the CPU. In this example, I add just one dot in this place, so now the system is with two CPUs, so we can process faster. Okay. So this is the case when we add a predictor in the system. The predictor is an abstract entity. It works in some way that is not defined at this moment, and it can decide at some time that it wants to perform the actual reconfiguration. So the system processes data, and the predictor suddenly decides to do the reconfiguration. So it produces one token here, and if there is at least one CPU available, it will take the CPU because there is higher priority. And it takes one place in the FPGA because the FPGA has limited resources. And at this time, it starts to do the reconfiguration that takes some time, that is the T reconf. And after the reconfiguration is done, we have occupied the FPGA by one place, and we return the CPU. Okay, so the actual acceleration may look this way. This is the system I described in the previous picture, and I added this part. So now the packets may be processed by another entity, as the hardware accelerator, and the predictor may predict to the reconfiguration, take some place in the FPGA, and add a token into this place. This place represents the hardware accelerator. So the processing now can be done this way. There is this transition with higher priority, so the hardware acceleration, as I already was talking about, is preferred over the CPU variant. And the processing takes some time. It's a time of DMA transfer from the memory to the hardware and back. And it's time of the actual speed of the accelerator. There are two output places that may be the same, or it depends. You can see that it is possible to extend this system, that this part may be duplicated. So there will be two accelerators, two different accelerators, and the predictor then should be able to decide which one accelerator to use. For this purpose, I think it will be better to use colored Petrinets, because the predictor is the element who decides which one of those two will be chosen, and it's really difficult to describe this system with just pure Petrinets that will choose the better one. It is also to be assumed that the CPU time should be much I think it's a mistake. It should be opposite way. The CPU time must be much bigger than the one of the accelerator to make sense, to this model to make sense. So, the state of the project and some possible future work. I designed the simulation model that is restricted to predicting overload of the system, but not underload, because if the traffic becomes too high, if the traffic load becomes too high, we can configure the FPGA, but the traffic may again return to some very small bitrate. So in that case, we don't need the FPGA, so we should be able to remove the accelerator from the FPGA and do the processing again on the CPU. This needs much more complex system simulation model, and I was not designing it yet, and I should do it in the future. For that purpose, I will need to use some higher level Petrinet representation that abstracts from the details that I was showing here, and it is really good to add some to be able to add some extensions to the system, because the processing is usually not just that everything is done in FPGA or everything is done in CPU. So the pipeline may be more complex in the way that in the first stage we just process IP address. In the second stage we will look for some regular expressions in the packets. Another stage that will do something, and every such stage is maybe done in CPU or FPGA, and one of those models may be better or faster or may save some power. So I implemented simulation runtime for this model already. It's done. It's working. I have I chose some appropriate parameters, but it's still in the progress, because I just took some reference manuals of the CPU and found some delays of memories and the frequency of the CPU, because when those parameters are not correct, the simulation doesn't make sense. So this is still to be done, and then if the simulation system is ready, it's time to design the traffic predictors and use the simulation system to test them, and that's possible a goal of my dissertation. Here is some graph of one of my early experiments. You can see the red line is input traffic, the green line is output traffic, and you can see that at some place the CPUs are not sufficient to process those data, those packets. So for example, somewhere, this is really simple packet generator that just slowly improves the bitrate, and for example at this moment the predictor may decide to perform the offload or the processing. So the time from this point to the point where we start losing data will be used for the reconfiguration, and here we will cover all the traffic. So I have a generator of fixed size packets at fixed bitrate. That was for the testing of the system. I have a generator of fixed size packet with increasing bitrate. That is what is shown here. And I have a very simple predictor that requests the reconfiguration. And the decision is based on the maximum speed of the link. So we check the size of the buffer, and we can compute what will happen if the traffic will jump to the maximal speed, and how much time we have to do the reconfiguration. So that's all.
Beautiful.
Okay. Before I open the discussion, I would really appreciate your demonstration by the Petrinet Networks. I think it was very understandable. And now, if you have some questions.
Maybe I have a question. You said that if you have too much load, the CPU and the FPGA works at the same time. And I think this creates the data race condition for between the CPU and FPGA for input data.
Yeah.
So how is this happening? They communicate somehow? Because I think the FPGA computes much faster than the CPU.
Yes, that's true. First of all, the this place is the where we decide who will process the data, and the CPU decides who will process the data. So if some packet comes to the system, the CPU decides whether to process it here or to send it to the FPGA. So the race condition actually doesn't matter, because the CPU decides who will take care of the data.
Okay. Any other questions? So I thank you.
Thank you very much.